talked about getting a faith lift and look at what faith is today. And then we're going to talk about persevering faith a couple weeks from now. Have we got your sword? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. In God's Word, we talk about faith, and I want to say it's a New Testament thing, but really it's just a God thing, because in Hebrews 11:6 it said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you think about that statement, without faith, it's impossible to please God, and really, we've never seen the Lord. I don't know, maybe some of you have had a visitation or something, but most of us have never seen the Lord visibly. Most of us has never heard the Lord's voice audibly. I remember being at a concert one time, and we were downtown. It was the Imperials, and I forget who all came, but it was the older groups years and years ago. I was like a youth pastor, and I think I had a somewhat of an angelic assistance or something. We were standing there, and everybody in the thing was lifting their hand, and somebody just kind of grabbed my hand and lifted a little higher, and I thought, well, isn't that nice of whoever it is? And I looked over, and no one was there, and I thought, whoa. And so that's the best I can explain that, and maybe the closest I've ever had to having any kind of supernatural assistance, but just a beautiful spirit in the place and all. So I've not had these mystical visitations or anything, but we believe, don't we? You know, we just had the bread and the juice that represented Christ's body and His blood, and so we believe, and we believe all this by faith. We believe that a man came 2,000 years ago in a land that some of us have never been. Maybe you've been to Israel, but we believe that he walked this earth. He was the Son of God, born of a virgin. We believe that he went to the cross and lived a sinless life and became our supreme sacrifice as we took communion and honored him. And so we believe that, and we believe it all by faith. We haven't seen, but it's a great hope, isn't it? Isn't that what you hope for? And then Paul says if without life and the eternal life and the hope in Christ, if that's not so, we are all of all men most pitiable, you know, because here we are, we're living this and walking this, and if there's no truth in this, then, you know, we're all to be pitied. We're sitting here all in vain, and we don't believe that, or we wouldn't be here. There's a lot of people that's not in church because they don't believe. They haven't exercised faith. Here's the thing the Bible tells us about faith is God gives everyone a measure of faith, a measure of faith. When we took the gifts test, faith was one of my higher gifts that, you know, when we scored from 0 to 4, and then we added them all up across, you could possible 16, you know, how the gift test works. And that was kind of high on my list. And I thought, for people that have faith, because I don't know, there's just some people that just believe they can. You ever be around people like that? They just, you know, if they're going to start doing something, they just believe they can. They just believe it. You know, I've laid a lot of brick in my days, and one of my helpers are here today. It's a bricklayer, and he became a contractor after I got out of the business, and good to see him, John, again today. And I hadn't laid bricks in a long time, but, you know, I have flipped a few houses in my day, and so we decided to take the old baptistry off the platform there and renovate that, and I've never done anything quite like that with the angles and all, and Danny, I'm not sure if he had ever done anything like that, but he helped me, and we came up here, and while John was preaching and teaching, we spent our time up here on that, and it looks pretty good, I think. But you know what? We didn't have a plan. We didn't have a sketch. I had it up here, but I had faith that I could do that. My wife says that looks like it was always been there. See, whether you like it or not, my wife likes it, and that's the main thing in my world. And if you got a wife, you know what I mean. That's really important that your wife supports you and love you, and vice versa. So. But I had faith that we could do that, and I had faith that we could still have two dressing rooms if we did it the way we did it. So we just started out. We started out tearing out walls and putting walls back in, and did some measuring and looking. And then I had faith that I could get people to do what I couldn't do. And so now the ceiling grids are in, and then we'll put up a hot water heater because I have faith in Mark Caldwell that he can do that.
Yes.
And if the church burns, you'll know who it is. But just like Kisha said, this is not the sanctuary. This is the sanctuary, isn't it? So this sanctuary, even if this one burns down, you know, we had one of our Baptist churches, brothers up in Edmond, their church burned through this fire a few weeks ago, and they still just showed up on Sunday and set their chairs out and had church because the church showed up. The church didn't burn. The church showed up. See, by faith, they just continue to show up because their faith is not in a structure. Their faith is in the God that we believe in. So everybody's got a measure of faith, and then I think we're told to exercise our faith. You know, we exercise our faith. In other words, whatever this says is what we do. For instance, when it says love your enemies and you don't feel like it, the just shall live by faith. By his faith is what Habakkuk says. And so we don't feel like it, and maybe it's new. That was a new experience for me. That took, next to salvation, that was one of the most freeing things that I got from my Savior, was learning how to forgive my enemies by faith, so I don't have to carry around a bunch of junk. I don't have to carry around heartache and grudges and all that kind of stuff. And to me, that was so freeing for me, you know, to lay down and know that my heart's not at aught with anybody. And doesn't mean we won't have discussions and some intense fellowship once in a while or disagreements or whatever, but it simply means that I'm okay in my heart and my mind, and it's okay. I mean, it's okay to disagree. As Christians, it's okay to disagree. Yeah. Because we're all trying to exercise our faith to believe what we see this to teach us and what we know. At our church, you know, people, there's some people believe that once you are truly, genuinely saved, you are always saved. And then we have people at our church that truly believe once you're genuinely saved that you can fall from grace. And we don't make an issue out of it. And if you didn't know that and that's an issue with you, you need to grow up. Because it's not gonna affect how you enter the kingdom of God, because you use your faith. You know, you walk on your faith. And then how many knows how you build up your most holy faith? By the Word of God, isn't it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if you want to build your faith, just read this. Get a hold of some of this, and this will build your faith. This is a great faith builder, because how many knows every week you and I are going to intake something? Whether it's good stuff or bad stuff, we're going to intake something. And the music we listen to, the movies we watch, the TV we watch, the people we hang around with, the people that influence us, especially the people that influence us. That's why when your kids are growing up, it's really important to see who they are that your kids are hanging out with. I told my son one time, I said, you need to get away from this kid. You know, he's trouble. And sure enough, he was trouble. And Jake didn't, you know, I got a call from the police officer one morning, and this kid, they were driving down the road, and this kid had mooned a off-duty police officer that was riding in my son's car. That's really not good to moon an off-duty police officer in your car. And so I got a phone call the next morning, and the guy says, I got this tag number, and does this belong to you? You? And I said, yes, it does. And he said, well, your son was driving, and his little friend decided to moon me and my girlfriend going down the road. And I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, well, I'm not going to do anything. I just wanted you to know. I said, well, I appreciate it. So I went into my son's bedroom, and I said, get up. You're going to jail. That's what I told him. I wanted him to sweat a little bit. Did you know, and this, and I named his friend, he did. And I told him not to. And I said, what did I tell you to do? He said, he told me not to hang around him, you know. The just shall live by faith. And hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we get this in here, how many knows we can give good instruction? By faith. You know, because it's just, He gives us the way we need to live. He gives us the way we need to act. He gives us the way we need to react to things. And so the just shall live by faith. And so, Old Testament, there's two times in the Old Testament that faith is mentioned. Once in Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, he's talking to a group of people that's getting ready to possess the promised land. And he's really talking about people that had no faith and they missed the blessings. How many knows you can miss blessings if you don't have faith? You don't have faith. kind of like even, you know, when you're in an economy like we're in, and you say, well, I don't have faith that I can't get a job if you have nothing, you know, you're not employed, and you say, well, I just can't find anything. I mean, there's a sense of faith about that. There's a sense of confidence and faith that says, I have significance and I can contribute to society. I have gifts. How many knows God gave you gifts? Everybody in this place has gifts. God's given you a measure of faith, and He's given you some gifts, and He expects us to play on those gifts and those strengths, whatever they are, till He comes. Occupy till I come. Because someday we're going to stand by faith. I believe we're going to stand in the presence of a holy God and give an account. Hebrews 9:27, you know, says each person will give an account. So we're going to do that. If you'd like to, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I love this story. You know, Jesus loved to tell stories and relate things that He was talking about. He loved to do that and when He was trying to get across a point. And I think that's still one of the best ways to help people, whether you're talking to your kids or, you know, you're lecturing or however, to put a story in there. And Jesus loved to do that. He did that a lot. And so He's talking about faith. And He talks about a lot of things, matter of fact, in this chapter. You know, if you start over at the front of it, he talks about giving and how not to parade your giving in front of people. And is that doing it again? Okay. Stop it by faith. And it says, you know, He talks about not giving your charitable deeds to make a show and all, and how to go about giving from the heart and not. And then He talks about how to pray and gives us the model prayer that we're to pray. And then He talks about forgiveness and how to forgive people. And He talks about fasting and then He talks about laying up your treasures in heaven. And this is really about, you know, when we're laying up treasure in heaven, it's where we're being Jesus' hand extended, right, to somewhere. I hope that you have some kind of an outlet if you're giving to our well or to the widow's house or something, that you have an outlet where you're giving out to someone else. That's being the hands and the face of Jesus Christ by faith when we're doing His bidding and when we're giving. And that's when we look more like God than I think we ever do, is when we're giving of ourselves and giving out of ourselves in whatever area God leads you to give. And I think we put too less of an emphasis on that. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 25, whenever we're standing before Him and we're all here in heaven before Him, He said there's a great crowd there. He says the ones on the left, He calls them the goats, and the ones on the right, He calls them the sheep. And He says, these are the ones that gave me water when I was thirsty. These are the ones that fed me when I was hungry. These are the ones that clothed me when I needed clothes and came and visited me when I was sick and in prison. And when God, His first words to us as we stand before Him are those kind of things. How many knows we need to pay attention to that? And then He makes a statement. He says, charity covers a multitude of sins. And so we're being more like Christ, I believe, when we give than any other time. And that's a part of the faith process, is us using what we have and giving out of ourselves. That's faith. And God really honors that, and I'll show you that in the Word here in just a minute. But let's look at it. And He's talking about, in Habakkuk, He says, the other place that faith is found, He said, the just shall live by his faith. Okay? And then he knows his hearers are having a problem right here. And so I think it's pretty unique. He talks to them about their faith and lack of, really. And so He compares it to nature. How many knows God set all this thing, all the nature in order? And the more we know as scientists and things and reveal is that there's a system that the whole planet knows and it feeds off each other. And I love to watch animal shows. I watch that probably more than any other thing. And some of the footage these guys that are dedicating their life and get, that's just amazing to me. And I'll watch them, you know, and you'll see some little fawn that's just been born and then you'll see some big lion, mama lion or two, and they've got an eye on this little fawn. You think, oh man, he's going to be their dinner. But I thought, what if I was a mama lion and I had little cubs at home? What would I be thinking? Oh man, dinner. Huh? Big difference, isn't there? And then when I go to McDonald's, I don't think, oh, bless this cow, Lord, you know. You know, or whatever. I don't, you know, we don't, but so he created this system, and man, you know, we just kind of we're terrible, really, aren't we, about keeping the system and keeping it, you know, we use more than we need, and we're wasteful and all these sort of things. One of my nieces, when they came, remember, they a few weeks ago, we baptized one of my nieces, one of the other ones. She was talking about my niece. She said she's a part of this small group, and she said, we're trying to be more friendly with the environment and all. She said, and she said, for instance, she said, most of us, when we're brushing our teeth, we'll let the water run the whole time we're brushing our teeth. How many do that? Let me see your hand. How many shut the water off? Let me see your hand. Well, good for you. Look at all of you that shut the water off. And I thought, that's just a little thing, isn't it? But I started shaving and brushing my teeth and stuff and just kind of shutting the thing off, you know, and saying, that's a little bit, you know. Doing our part for the environment. You say, well, how's that tied into faith? Well, I think it's you being a good steward over this planet. He said to keep it and tend it, didn't he? And so by faith, I can say I can do my best, and when I do my best, how many knows? He said that's when we are rewarded for those that diligently seek Him. It's being diligent in the least little things that He's given us. And I think it also honors Him by our faith in saying, I'll make extra effort. It's just, I've got to turn it on once or twice more, but you know what? I'm going to do my part so my kids and grandkids and their kids, if the Lord tarries, can have a better place to live. And so he talks to them about this kind of thing. He says he's really kind of discouraged. And one of the things that he gets onto his people about more than any other thing, his followers, is, if you notice, is their lack of faith. Oh, ye of little faith. And then he'll say, oh, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How many's ever told your kids, how many times do I got to tell you? You ever done that? It's kind of, that's what he's kind of saying to us as his children, you know. Come on, use your faith. And how many knows Jesus would never, ever get on to you and me or his disciples about their faith if they couldn't do better? He'd never do that. And so we have to keep in mind that if Jesus gets on to us about something, then guess what? We need to pick it up. That's kind of what he's doing here. In Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now let me see by show of hands how many worry about your life. Well, stop it. And how many knows it's a lack of faith? You know, if you read on down, you're going to see he says, oh ye of little faith. And we'll get there in a minute, but he said, don't worry about your life. And all he's saying is, that's the opposite of faith, is worrying about your life. So why do we do it if we know that he said, don't do it? How many knows we plant seeds where we shouldn't be planting seeds, and we do things we shouldn't really be doing, and we charge more than we should charge, and we get more than we should get, or we, you know, whatever it is. We eat more than we should eat, you know, and pay the consequences later. But he says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then he says this, look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. They don't have 401ks, they don't have bank accounts, they don't have insurance. All the things that we think we must have, and I'm not saying it's not good stewardship to have, but he's just saying they don't have any of the things that we worry about. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them, and are you not more valuable than they? When I read this the other day, and then I was, you know, I've been looking at this and kind of getting it on my mind and for some time. And when I went to Altus Monday, came up here and did a few things and got everything in order, and went to Altus and spent a few days with Jana. And we went to, there's a little lake. In fact, there's two little lakes there in Altus. And at that little lake, there was birds everywhere. Just, you know, and Altus is not a very big town, but it's an Air Force town or military town, whatever branch that is. And so, you know, it's got a few more people than some of the little smaller towns around, but it's not a huge... But right there in the middle of this little town was these lakes, and we did our walking there that day after work, and there was all kinds of birds. And none of them looked worried to me. I don't know what a worried bird would look like. They'd be wringing their wings or, you know, just drooping or what they'd look like. But they're all just singing, and the ducks, there were so many ducks in that pond. There's just, I don't know, several different species of ducks, you know, little ones, and there were some big geese with the big knot on their head and whatever those are called. And then there was some white swans. Janice said, are those swans? I said, I don't know. Well, you're supposed to know, she said. And so I got to Google that and look at it now. But just a great mixture of geese and ducks. Some were little. Some would, they'd see us coming and they'd dive down in the water. A lot of them did that. And then they'd come up with something in their mouth is eating where God had provided. Now here's something that's really cool. You can go to Walmart parking lot over on 19th Street and you'll see birds there every time you go. Did God tell the birds, go to Walmart? I thought, if I was a bird, if you were a bird, would you be hanging out in the Walmart parking lot? There's always birds there. In fact, I went there the other day to get something and I heard something scratching around. I thought, what is that? And I have a sunroof, so I lifted it, and there was one of those birds sitting on my truck. He thought, well, that's a good-looking perch, I guess, you know, new Ford truck. And so I kind of shoot him off my truck, and I thought, but every time I go there, there's birds in the Walmart parking lot. You go to the country, and guess what is out in the country? Birds. And I thought, you can go downtown. We were downtown one day eating at Zio's on the Riverwalk there. There was ducks out in the water. There were sparrows come down by our table. There was pigeons came down. None of them looked worried. Jesus said, guess what, church? You're more valuable than all the birds. They've learned to go down to wherever it's at. Go to Walmart. Okay, I'll go to Walmart. Go downtown. I'll go downtown. You know, we say we can't make money because we're here, or we can't make money in a little town like Altus, or we can't make money out in the country, or, you know, and we just put ourselves in a box. And the bird says, God will provide wherever I am. Yesterday we were walking the track and right up on the light pole. Not in the tree, on the light pole. Said a mockingbird just singing all kinds of tunes. I told my wife, I said, don't look up. And she looked up and walked right under him because I was walking around him and she was following me. And she said, well, you led me right underneath him. And I said, I told you not to look up. Just shall walk by faith, right? But I just noticed the birds. He said, look at the birds. Look at them. Look at them. And have you ever seen a sad bird just drooping around? They don't have nothing to store. They have to depend on God every day. In the winter, in the snow, they'll still be birds. After a brutal hailstorm, they'll still be birds. Where they build a city or they build a new community where the birds used to stay, they'll still be birds. Jesus said, look at them. Now, here's one of the things. I've never seen a sparrow build a nest this big. Listen, if you're a sparrow, don't overbuild your nest, okay? How many's with me? I think that's where we come in with worry. We worry because we built our nest too big. Almost every sparrow's nest is the same. It's about so big, and it's made from the things that God. To worry about wires and gadgets and all. But I thought, you know, there's really a good lesson in that, isn't there? To think that we could look at the birds, and Jesus said, look at the birds. They don't worry. They don't stress. They have a good time. They raise their families. And they have dangers, don't they? You know, they have to bear all the elements of the outside, you know, except for when they get in their little houses that they've made, and they have to worry about the snakes and cats and whatever else. But they just seem to live their life in faith, thinking we've got a Creator and He's provided. And there's one other thing I would mention when at Walmart on 19th Street about dark. If you're ever down there, it's quite an ordeal. There's at least hundreds of birds and maybe thousands of birds. And they come in there, and all those high lines that man has put up, they just line them up down the street. I mean, just about as far as you can see, just everywhere. Who said? What bird first said, you know what we ought to do about dark? We ought to have family reunion down here on those lines. You see what they put up down there at Walmart? I mean, how they communicate that. And they've come in, and they're just, and it's loud, and they're all talking. And I thought, maybe they're just thinking, thank God a bug today, I got me a worm today. Thank you, Jesus. Rejoicing for the day before they go off wherever they go off at night. I assume some of those trees. Jesus said, hey, church, look at the birds. Look at the birds. Go home and look at the birds around your house. Some of you feed the birds. And some of you like me, so God said He'd feed the birds. I don't need to worry about the birds. But Jesus said, you know what? Look at the birds. Look at the birds. They're happy. They're happier than a lot of humans are. God gave us a little pond. We'll just float around. God gave us Walmart. People dropping stuff all the time. Thank you, Jesus. You know, whatever it is, wherever they are, they do better and survive. They seem like they thrive. You hardly ever see a sickly bird around in wherever they're at. About the only time you see things like that is where we've come in and tore up their environment and something, and they're such mass quantity, and you know, or we kill them off just for sport. But other than that, they're doing pretty well. They're doing pretty well. He says, you need to take a look, church. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Well, the answer is yes. We're created in His image, in His likeness. We have intellect. We can make decisions. You know, they have instinct. I mean, you saw on the Animal Channel the other day where the monarch butterflies are headed back south right now, coming through Oklahoma. I said, they're coming through Oklahoma if you want to see them. I saw one the other day, and I thought, how do they know how to get from way up north to Mexico? That's where they're going. They have faith in their Creator. They have faith in their Creator that, you know what, I don't have to have an airline or a GPS. I have a Creator. And when it's time to go somewhere, He just goes. Kind of like Jesus. When Jesus says, you guys get in the boat and go across, I'll join you in a little while. I got to do some talking to my Father. And He talks to His Father, and then you remember the storm came, and He walks right out in the storm. You know what we'd be saying? Well, I know it's supposed to go, but there's a storm. Listen, there's a good message in that. Sometimes God says, walk right through the storm. You don't want me to go there, do you, Lord? Yeah, walk right through there. Through there, there's a storm brewing over there. You want me to walk? Yes, walk right there. By faith. And so Jesus comes walking. He comes walking, you know, and walks in the boat, and He gets onto them again. Oh, ye of little faith. They think they're going to die. And Jesus says, you're right in the middle of where I told you to go. Just because there's a storm doesn't mean it's not God. I mean, sometimes you think it's not God because there's a storm. Sometimes God sends you to the storm. How many knows in the storm you'll know what you're made of? Jana's entertaining getting us a cellar. Had us look at some the other day at the fair, and so we thought about putting one in. And she told someone the other day, she said, we were in our last tornado. It was just across the river from our house, just about where we were at 134th coming across. And so I had her... We don't have a solar, so I put our motorcycle helmets on. And we put our leather jackets on. Because you know a 2x4 can't go through a leather jacket. That's all we had, so we put it on. And then we got in our little, we have a utility area there with our laundry stuff in, a little ironing board that pulls out of the wall. And so we sit there, and I got a little footstool, and I put it right there beside us. So if the walls came in, we'd, you know, it'd help cushion us a little bit. And that's what we rode the storm out, by faith. By faith. And guess what? Before we prayed and said, God, you know, protect us. And so it came right up off the ground before it came across the river and then lifted up and went somewhere else. Thank you, Lord. You have not because? Yeah, you have not because you ask not. So we ask and it was okay. And it's cheaper just to ask than it is to build a cellar, right? But you thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God, right? We'll go, yeah. I understand that. And then it says in verse 27, which of you by worrying, there's that word again, can add one cubit to his stature? Lord, I'm about 5'9", 5'10". I'd really like to be 6'2". Please, Lord, please, please, please. I'm just, you know, tired of this shortness. How many can do it? He says, you can't. And he says there's things that is out of your... Remember, I've taught you here that there's facts and there's problems, right? The fact is something you can do nothing about, but we'll still hang on to it and worry. We can do that, can't we? It's a fact. I can't change it, but, you know, I can worry about the thing. So I'll just go ahead and worry for a while. That's what we wind up doing. He says, you know what? Your height was given to you through your genes, and you're not going to get any taller. In fact, most of us get shorter because we start... Here's this little observation, but I believe, you know, the missing link in between the Neanderthal man, the old, in between the new man is, and they can't find that link in there where some of them were so humped over. And then here's my little theory. My little theory is this, that after the flood, man stopped living 700-800 years, and then he's living 120 or less, and most a lot less than that up to today. And so the older they got, can you imagine the way you feel now when we get over at 55, you know, 56, I'm like, boy, and then can you imagine, though, if this body you could carry for 700 years? You'd be looking through the bottom of your feet or something, wouldn't you? You know? And I think that's what it is. I think that after the flood, the lifespan was cut in such, and I think that's where that missing link is, that they can show the body of a man, and it's missing there. This is my little simple theory. But he says, don't worry about it. You can't add any height to your body, and there's things you should not worry about. You should have faith. Have faith that God is going to make it. So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies. And then he talks about the flowers, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. In other words, they can't make, you know, produce a little jacket or something. God gives them the color and the beauty and the distinction of who they are. And then... Yesterday I put out a little fall. We have a little planter ring around our tree in the front yard, and I put out some pansies, they call them. I love pansies. I love color, you know, and put those out. And somehow or another, he puts something in those little flowers that really, in the winter, they say, bring it on. They got faith to survive the cold. And they'll say, bring it on. I like color all winter, so I'll put those out and remember the big snow we got, and after all that was gone, they were sitting there and they could tell they'd been hit. But just a few weeks, a couple months later, boy, they were looking good again. Like, what is that all you got? Is that it? Just looking there in vibrant colors. I love those little things. I told somebody we ought to call them toughies instead of pansies. But come summertime, how many knows that's where they get their name? Come summertime, they can't take the heat. Kind of like Johnson grass. You know, God put faith in Johnson grass, didn't he? Or Bermuda grass. Oh my gosh. Until he gets in the shade. And he just has to have the sun. See, that's kind of the way we are in humans. There's some of you that have faith in an area that I wouldn't have faith, and I'd have faith in an area that you don't have faith. Because God put something in you. Like people that go off and do things that are abnormal, you know, we call it going off to Hollywood or
being a stand-up comedian or something. You hear them talk to their parents saying all the time, why don't you get a real job? And God put funny in them or put the ability to act or whatever inside of them. And so their parents don't relate and society don't relate. But you know what? When that's in you, that's what you got to do because God gave you faith to do that. And sometimes the world's going to look at you and your faith and say, what are you doing that for? And you better exercise your faith and know your faith or people can get you off track. You ever notice that? With good intentions, they can get you off track of what you need to be doing. God put preach in me, and so I preach. When God put that in me, and I didn't know it was there, and lay dormant for a long time, Jana had already married me, so it's too late. It manifests. And so here I am. Verse 29, yet I say to you, not even Solomon. Remember Solomon, he was one of the most flashy kings ever, had everything. He was into building and importing, exporting, just everything that the guy was, you know, if it was to be done or could be had, he had it. In fact, they had a parade one time. It took them 6 months just to parade all the stuff that he had in front of everybody to see what kind of all the things he'd collected and things. But he said, in all of his glory, there was not arrayed like one of these. He says, hey, church, look at the birds. Hey, church, look at the flowers. They're here every year. They're here from God. And they're for your viewing pleasure. And they're for eating and watching and enjoying. Now, if God so clothed the grass in the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? O you of little faith. That's what he's saying. And by the way, you know, we're talking about the book of Revelations. I'll be doing some teaching on there this Wednesday. If you want to look at probably like chapter, I'll probably do some more, start in chapter 7 and then go forward from there. But he says, tomorrow is which is thrown into the oven. That's another thing that, man, is we mess this planet up. And God says, someday I'm going to come and burn it with fervent heat. Another thing, everything you see on this planet will be burned up. I think it's the purging time that God will have to purge this planet. So for the new kingdom, the new heaven, and the new earth that he talks about, Jesus just kind of mentions that in this. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, and there it is again, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink or what shall we wear, ladies? That's pretty funny when you're Joyce's age and still worried about what to wear. Buford just said after 55 years, he said, I do again. I asked him this morning, I said, you still happy with that, doing that again? He said, so far. For after all these things, listen, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. All the worrying should be people that don't have a God. All this worrying about stuff and things and what they can't change shouldn't be the church. It should be those that don't have a God. How many knows we have a God? Everybody say, we have a God. For your Heavenly Father, when He told us to pray, what did He say to say? Our Father, which is in heaven. Just a reminder, isn't it? That our source is in heaven that we're talking to. Our Father in heaven. And so for your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. He knows you have need of all these things. I have need of all these things. How many knows this? Kind of like our children. We know what they need. And they're just like us, they want more than they need. And then he gives us the answer here. If you want to build your faith, if you want to make it right, he says, but seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness, his way. It's in stewardship, it's in health, it's in mind, it's in heart, it's in relationship, whatever it is, seek His kingdom, His way, His righteousness first. And what does it say? And how many things? All these things shall be added to who? You. Therefore, He says, and here it is again, do not worry. Look over at your neighbor and say, I'm going to stop worrying. Come on, go ahead, by faith. This is by faith. I'm going to stop worrying. Now look back at him and say, I'm going to hold you to it. Yeah. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Some of you have already fretting about Monday, right? For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Tomorrow's worry and stress can wait. Just wait till you get there and then be prayed up and ready and deal with it then. You know, act like Jesus when you get there tomorrow and having those things will be okay. I heard a preacher say one time, I want to get so close to God that when people see me coming, is that Dwight or is that Jesus? Who is that? So just act like that, you know. Just get so close to Jesus and talk to Him. That's what Jesus did. He got so close to His Father. He spent time with His Father. And then that's why it didn't matter if there was a storm in His path. He was going to the storm because He'd already heard where He was supposed to go. What He was supposed to do. Okay? It says, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Its own trouble. In Hebrews 11:1, and I don't have time to turn there, but it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it's something we really hope will happen. It's the substance. That word substance means a setting under or a support, an essence or an assurance. You know, like our house sits on a foundation, and hopefully that foundation will hold. That's what we have faith in, that our house is built, even in this Oklahoma clay, that if I set it on a good foundation, that's my hope that it will stay there by faith. And how many knows we use our faith all the time when we buy a house in Oklahoma. You know, we have to use our faith. In fact, I just sold a house, and the engineer says it's an older house, and I'd remodeled it, and he says we have to put some piers under it because the foundation seems to be rolling. Good news for the new owners, bad news for the seller, me. And so we put piers in the little house, you know, and it was a two-story house, and so they, you know, God bless them, they got piers in their rolling. But we put faith in. How many put faith in your car to make it here? Some of you in your old car, you had to put a lot of faith to make it here, maybe. You know? But we put faith. We put faith. Some of us riding motorcycles, and we just have faith God's going to protect us. And we hear it from people all the time. Now you're going to get killed on those things. Well, go ahead and prophesy. How many knows that people get killed every day in Oklahoma City with cars? How many's going to just get in your car and go home after, go wherever, go to eat? You're going to get in your car. That's by faith, isn't it? You know it. You know that people die every day in car wrecks and car accidents, and yet you'll get back in your car, and most of us won't be nervous. You may be now since I mentioned all this, but don't worry. But we'll get in our car and we'll head down the road at, you know, 60, 70 miles an hour. And we're okay with that, knowing that a lot of people die every year off through cars. It's called faith, isn't it? Some of you couldn't get your hair to do just right today, and you came on to church anyway. That's faith. And then some of you can really cook, and some of you can't, but you cook by faith, right? I think I can. My son-in-law, he's got a lot of faith. I remember one time I'd flipped a few houses, and he helped me with one, and I thought about building a new house, you know, just building a new house. I said, I'll think about building a new house. You think you could do that? And he looked at me a minute, and he said, yeah. If you ever ask my son-in-law to do anything for you, and he says, yeah, be cautious, okay? He thinks he can. He thinks he can do just about anything. And I love that in people that think they can. They haven't, but they think they can. I love it when a kid, for instance, says, you know, you're trying to get a jar lid off, and you're turning, and the little kid says, let me try. And you're thinking, oh, God, don't let this little kid open this lid. Please, Lord, don't let him open this lid. I'm gonna stop there because I had about three more scriptures I wanted to take you to, but we're out of time. I'll pick up here in a week or so after, because I think I still want to do persevering faith on our anniversary, but we're going to talk about faith for a while, okay?
But I want you to get the foundation. Where you know, first of all, if we're gonna exercise faith, we need to understand that we've got to quit worrying, because worry is what Jesus got on the people about, and you need to quit it. Now listen to me. If we couldn't stop, Jesus wouldn't get on to us about it. Are you hearing me? If we couldn't stop worrying, if that wasn't possible, then Jesus wouldn't get on to us about it. You agree with that? I don't really care if you do or not. That's a fact. But I hope you do. I hope you do agree with that. Because that's what he said. Three or four times he just told us, don't worry. Stop worrying. Don't worry. Your Father knows. Now, here's our part, is to be a good steward over what we have. You know, be a good steward over what you have. That's showing that. That's the substance. That's the substance that when I say I want something, I'm hoping for this, I'm not doing something different. That's a double-minded man, and the Bible said they're unstable. We become unstable in all of our ways when we're saying, I hope for this, but I'm doing something totally different. He said we become unstable in everything else. So whatever you're hoping for, put some action, put some feet. That's faith. Putting wheels on what you're saying you're hoping for, that's faith. That is faith. And so that's our foundation for today about what faith is. And then we'll look at some things. Next time we'll look at some things that please God about faith. Because we know what he gets on to us about is worry and things. So we'll look at some of the things that people did that he said, that's what faith is, right there. That's faith. And he gives us some examples in the Scripture, and we'll look at those so we can know what pleases our Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for giving us a faith lift, God, through your Word. I pray that you'll forgive us, Lord, as people we tend to worry, and you said, do not worry. And then you gave us such beautiful examples to look at the birds and look at the little flowers that are delicate, and we see them growing everywhere, out of the sidewalk, out of the crack of the sidewalk, or wherever you plant them. And so we praise you for this illustration. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry anymore, that we can have faith and use our faith instead of worrying. Faith to move forward. When there's something we could be worrying about, instead of worrying about it, Lord, give us faith. You've given us a measure, so bless that measure that we can move forward in this area, the areas we stress and worry about. And we give you praise and glory and honor for helping us to achieve walking in faith and not walking in worry and stress and anxiety. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for getting on to us and showing us that we don't have to stay there, and it's not pleasing to you when we stay there and you feel like that we're not taking advantage of everything you've given us, the opportunity you've given us, and the blessings you've given us to walk in faith. So forgive us for worry and bless our faith today to go forward in the directions that you've called us to go. By faith, in Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen.